This is Pure Decking for, what is today, the 14th, Thursday the 14th of March. I forgot the year. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight we've got Fox and Sard, and I don't know what you guys are drinking tonight, but I'm kind of slumming it. I got Killian's, so.
No, Killian's is pretty damn tasty.
No, it's good. It's just, it's not like, you know, I've been grabbing fancy shit here lately, and it's just like, well, I didn't have time to go to the liquor store. I just got something at the grocery store. So it's like, well, that's like the best
thing
they got.
Slumming it is like Natty Ice or Pabst or Coors or Bud, like some other shit water beer.
Okay, that's not slumming it. That's just, you know, that's just when you hate yourself.
Crack whore.
And you don't have the willpower to commit suicide.
Right.
You know, that's when you go for down. Yeah, that's when you go for the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I have had some craft beers from a local brewery this evening, and I am sitting next to a flask of scotch, which I will probably start drinking soon.
See, I'm slumming it. You've been hitting craft beers. I'm getting stuff from the supermarket.
Hey, man, head out west, and I'll get you all the craft beer you can drink.
I've actually got another week before I've got another set of my homebrew ready to go, so we'll see.
All right.
I've got regular old Shock Top.
That's all right. Shock Top's good stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you know, I had something for the feedback section, but I just, fuck it. I lost the email. So, oops.
You can dig for it while we're ranting and raving about show topics.
Nah, I've got the show notes are full of stuff tonight. I don't. There's not much to the feedback, anyways. Only station news I've got is IHN is on hiatus this week. RU is starting a cult so that he will have someone to shoot at. So,
yeah, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
Oh, one of these days somebody's going to go back and listen to those archives and believe all this bullshit we say about him.
Yeah, great. We're going to start throwing the everything is fake disclaimer in front of everything now.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea. It's like, we make this shit up.
Because it amuses us. I mean, well, we used to have a disclaimer on the IHN show.
Yeah, we had in there that everybody else is lying to you to control you. We're lying in there, lying because we think it's funny. So,
yeah, and we still do.
Fair point. So, anyways, I guess what I had in mind to talk about for the topic tonight, Bitcoin has been coming up a lot lately.
That is when I first saw Bitcoin come out, it was like, this is another 4chan troll scam bullshit. You know, nothing to really give a fuck about. Now I'm seeing people are making shit tons of actual legitimate currency off of this crap. Talk about missing the bandwagon because I thought it was just trolling.
I actually tried to get my hands on some Bitcoins early on back when they were $5 per Bitcoin. And every time I went around the sites to deal with it, everything read like a pyramid scheme or a credit scam to the point it's like, you know what? I'm not doing this. And
yeah.
It wasn't that there was anything particularly wrong with Bitcoin itself as a system. It was everything set up to deal with Bitcoin. It was like, I should steal somebody else's identity and be using Tor before I do anything on this. I mean, it was just me.
Yeah.
I mean,
off of
the whole
proxy box.
Yeah, I mean, the whole system, it felt like a scam waiting to happen any time I tried to look into it. And I know a lot of people get really excited about Bitcoin, so I don't mean to knock. I'm not knocking Bitcoin. But, I mean, come on. Anybody who looked at Mt. Gox early on, bullshit. I'm not giving these people my money. What the hell?
Yeah.
So, let's see. I copied a bit of the Wikipedia article into the notes here, but I'm not sure that I actually need it. I'm pretty sure if you don't know what Bitcoin is at this point, it's somebody's attempt to make internet money. because it's the internet, so we have to have money of the future. We can't just use regular money. And the big thing is that it uses a lot of encryption specifically SHA-256 hashes, to create strings of numbers, which are significant and therefore considered to be a Bitcoin. And it's a hash, essentially, is what it is. And you can then trade that hash as currency, as a value. And once you've got the hash, it goes into your quote-unquote Bitcoin wallet, and then you can spend it within the Bitcoin ecosystem. And if you're in, if you have Bitcoins, you're already in the system, it's not too bad to deal with. Their little clients are fine. They're not too hard to deal with. It's not the speediest thing in the world. But, I mean, once you're in the system, it's not too bad. But getting into the system, if you're not already in it, is a bit on the rough side.
And, like, another thing that I saw when this thing first came out, it was pretty much, like, how people were, because we were still in Second Life when this first started kicking off, it was pretty much like people taking the Linden dollars that you earned in Second Life and converting them to real currency.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like it was something like, yeah, I can see what you're trying to do here. It looks like a load of bullshit and you're scamming. It didn't look legit for one. It also looked like something that was, you know, going to be to a very select group of people and wouldn't be able to be exchanged out to, you know, real money. It's like buying Disney dollars or some shit like that. You know, they only work in this, like, one little area and are fuck all for everything else. It's like, I'm not going to put a fucking cent towards something that I'm only going to be able to use on, you know, four random sites on the internet, but yet it's fucking exploded and now you can get real money out of it. Which, of course, means the government's probably going to step in and fuck over everything that they're trying to do right now and take it down.
Every other popular alternative currency, they have found some way to shut down. All the Bitcoin people are like, oh no, they'd have to shut down the internet to shut down Bitcoins, which may or may not be true. But they can certainly go after the people who are making it possible to change Bitcoins into other currencies.
Yeah.
So right. It's not that they can shut Bitcoin down. They can just make it really hard to use. So.
Damn it. I won't be able to order my pizza with Bitcoins anymore.
That was cool. I liked that one.
Yeah.
The guys using Bitcoins to order a pizza for you. That was cool. And I don't, you know, I go back and forth on Bitcoins. I don't have a problem with the concept. I don't even really have a problem with the way they've implemented it. I just, like I said, a lot of the services around it really kind of make my skin crawl a little bit. So it's like, you know, Bitcoins look cool. I like the concept, but the people who are handling it, I don't know that I want to get involved.
Yeah. And
right.
In the beginning, wasn't there a lot of people like setting up, you know, like folding at home style boxes to just mine Bitcoins?
Oh, they still do. In fact, it's part of why I wanted to talk about Bitcoins tonight, actually, is it's the same rigs that you would do for the distributed computing, or you would do for, say, rainbow table generation or password cracking, that you can use for mining Bitcoins. Now, they've taken it beyond that to the where they're getting like FPGA boards and designing custom processors that can mine these things faster. And I mean, there's some real technology going in behind these things, but, I don't know that he's going to want me to mention it, but the reason I'm wanting to talk about it on the show tonight is Lore was listening to, No Agenda, and they've been talking about Bitcoin a lot on No Agenda past couple of weeks. And, I keep going back and forth as to whether I even want to put their show on the stream, because I don't think there'd be a problem if we did, but at the same time, I go back and forth on their show. So, especially it's been up and down here lately. But they had some pretty wild conspiracy theories about Bitcoin, and it got Lore worked up enough. He actually texted me on my lunch break. He's like, have you heard this? I mean, do you know what they were saying? It's like, well, so I went and checked it out. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's like mostly bullshit. So,
yeah, what were they saying?
What the theory that they had worked up, or well, one of the hosts had worked up, was that Bitcoin was actually a very large rainbow table generation scam being put out by the government because they initially published it under some pseudonym, and they're pretty sure that like one of the original authors of Bitcoin is dead and somebody else is in jail, and you know, it's like, oh, because it's the same rig up that you would use for password cracking. They must be doing something nefarious with it. And it's like, well, I don't.
Bust out your tinfoil line boonie hats, because
yeah,
we're fucking crazy.
It's like, that's an awesome theory, except for the fact that all the software is open source. And if, you know, you actually read the explanation of how the software works, you would see that that's really not going on.
What, when you are mining for Bitcoins, what are you
computing
or hashing?
Well, I guess the way to explain it, what mining for Bitcoins is you run this program on your system, right? Or you build a rig to run lots of it. But your system is trying to find a hash so that the hashed result of a block of transactions, after it's been put through a block chaining cipher with the previous block of transactions, so like whichever the transactions set of transactions was the last one generated, you start with that block, and then you use that block to encrypt the next block of transactions. And by transactions, I mean people like spending or, you know, moving Bitcoin around. So when somebody goes on Bitcoin, you know, or a girl's gone Bitcoin and gives some stripper $2, you know, that's the transaction. Or if you go on Mt. Gox and you're moving money around, that's a transaction. If you're going on Silk Road and buying pot with it, which is probably not a good idea, that's a transaction. So, you know, they're the actual movement of money in the Bitcoin system is encrypted using this block chaining, so it has to work with the previous block, right? So you get these chains of blocks. And that's important because they actually had a problem with their chains the other day. But they're trying to find a hash that the first set of bits, and I don't know what they're up to, it matches a pattern. Mostly they're looking for zeros. And so the system is brute forcing, trying to find a hash that meets the requirement of having all these zeros and still successfully encrypting the block. And the first one to find it wins. They get 25 bitcoins and whatever they earned for there's a fee. I'm trying to think, they actually had a name for it. It's like a transaction fee. So if you find the Bitcoin block, the transaction fee is what funds you getting paid for the Bitcoin mining. So It's a little convoluted, but it kind of makes sense. And that funding is there so that if there's, yeah, eventually it's going to get to the point where there's no more Bitcoins to be found because there's a limited number that there's supposedly a limited number that will ever be found in the way the encryption is set up. So, so there's this concept of a transaction fee, which you can get if you successfully complete the block. You pick up all the transaction fees for all the transactions that were in your block. It's a little convoluted. I don't know if I'm explaining it very well.
it does. I mean, it's obviously different than, say, a folding at home type thing. Cause that,
there's actually,
just distributed computing. There's one big giant blob of, what is it? Usually like proteins or something that you're computing and hashing or whatever. So this is,
racing everybody else trying to find set of hash. And
but you aren't guaranteed to win just by, you know, by participating type thing.
Right. But here's the thing on it, though. I mean, it's not just, you know, everybody talks about the crazy horsepower and the data centers people are putting together on these things. But there's something else you have to consider, and that's lag. You know, if you've got the better rig, but somebody else has a faster connection, they might get the answer, you know, at the same time you do, but get it turned in sooner. You know what I mean? So you can get really, really, you know, out there with your Bitcoin mining rigs. But the transaction fees, that was something else that was in the conspiracy nuts idea about why this thing was a scam. This is like, because there's transaction fees involved, And it's like, well, that's how you're paying the people who are managing the transaction, trying to find all this encryption, because it's not run on any central server. It's ran on the people mining. They actually, it's not, that's why it's distributed in peer-to-peer and why it would be so hard to shut down. There's some centralized communication channels for all the Bitcoin miners to communicate and do transactions, but it's just, last time I looked, it was just an IRC channel. So, it's like, yeah, okay, you could shut that one down, but you could get another one set up fairly quickly. But and the system they've actually got set up is pretty good, because the transaction logs, as well as being used as your encryption material, also help to prevent the same money from being spent more than once. Like, I can't just copy the file and spend the money again. You know what I mean? Because it's all right. Handled through this distributed system, and everybody running the mining operations is also running the currency network and making sure that you don't spend the same money twice for the most part. They actually had a problem the other day with the cipher block chaining. They've put out a couple of different versions of the Bitcoin protocol as they've been developing it. And with the most recent one, they put out an incompatibility where you could start generating ciphers that don't pass muster on the older versions of the mining rigs. And so they ended up with two different chains of transactions going on for a bit. And because there were two transaction chains going, people were able to spend Bitcoins twice.
That's interesting.
So they got it fixed within a couple of hours, and I think Mt. Gox went down while they were fixing it and brought it back up so that the amount of fraud would be low. But it was interesting because they found a few instances where the same money had been spent twice while that was going on. So,
I mean, there still has to be like an end goal or something, I guess. I mean,
the end goal is to make a replacement currency system that's not controlled by a government or set of entities.
Okay.
The problem with Bitcoin is that right now it's small enough that a handful of major players could manipulate the whole thing.
Okay.
So,
yeah, somebody that got in on the ground floor and has been mining it since day one, and they have this huge equity of Bitcoin, has the potential to control the rest of the Bitcoin market.
Or something like Mt. Gox getting hacked, which seems to happen once every couple of months. You know, that can cause major fluctuations in the whole market, because there's only a handful of these major Bitcoin exchanges right now. So,
you also run the risk of, at this point, yeah, Bitcoin's kind of small, but it's making a name for itself. It's starting to get out there. People are starting to notice it, and it's like, okay, so you've invested all this time and, you know, money and getting all these Bitcoins, and all of a sudden it gets, you know, their servers get seized by a government entity that actually has the physical capability to go in and fuck up your shit. And bam, yeah, all your hard-earned Bitcoin is gone.
Yeah. I know a lot of people really, really get into the Bitcoin thing. They're really like, oh, it's the end-all be-all, and if you question it, they get really upset with you. But I my problem is not with the Bitcoin system itself. It's with a lot of the services set up around it. So, yeah, I'm still kind of playing wait and see with it.
Yeah.
Boss to pay me in Bitcoins right now because I couldn't pay my house payment with it.
Yeah, like, on one hand, it's one of those, like, shit, do I get on the bandwagon early and, like, really luck out? Or do I avoid this entire train wreck that this is going to become once it tries to get big and gets, you know, squashed by a, you know, fully funded government entity?
There's been a couple of these alternative currencies that have cropped up and gone away. How many people lost, like, insane amounts of money when the government shut down Freedom Coin?
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. Like, when the government got wind of people selling Linden dollars for real currency, like, they started looking at ways to tax your Linden dollar amount, like, off of your fucking avatar in Second Life, because it could be converted back into legitimate, you know, currency. So, like, you have, like, 50 billion Linden sitting in your account, and all of a sudden the government's sending you a fucking tax form over your virtual dollars that don't really exist and buy you, you know, hats.
Same, man.
Nose, don't audit my Team Fortress 2 account, for the love of God.
Yeah, right? Like, there's some billion-dollar hatch floating around there. The government wants their cut.
Yeah, that's probably the truth of it, too. Actually, there was something. I spent a lot of time on the Bitcoin site making sure I had a really good understanding of it before I... No, it's like I knew that the theory was wrong because I was remembering enough about how it worked. It's like, no. Now that, you know, that said, there are some fun conspiracy theories with Bitcoin because they don't know where it came from and every transaction is logged. It is entirely possible. It's a great way of building online transactions. It's like, yeah, we'll supply the darknet currency so we can track it. I've heard that one, and that one is kind of a fun theory. I don't really buy into a lot of that because it is pretty well designed, and it's not that I would put it past any of our three-letter agencies of, you know, putting out something like that to try to control it. It's more I don't think they're smart enough to do it and actually have it happen. It's like if this thing was contrived, I don't think it would still have the traction it does. But it seems pretty volatile right now, but I don't know. It's kind of an interesting concept. I mean, I keep meaning to look at it more and maybe pick up a couple of Bitcoins and play with it a little bit. But at the same time, it's like some of these services really, it's like,
Yeah, I was going to say that's, I mean, I'm sure there's some legitimate actual real services out there that use and accept Bitcoin, but all the ones I've either seen or heard about usually have some nefarious, you know,
well, I mean, it's like WordPress. You can buy hosting with Bitcoin. There's lots of little online services you can do with Bitcoin now. But again, it's like it's interesting, but it's not. I don't think we're gonna be. It's not gonna be the scenario out of Demon, where at the end of the books, you know, the darknet credit had practically replaced the dollar as a useful currency. I don't foresee it going down that route, even though I think a lot of people really want it to.
What is that? You said Demon? That sounds like
not Red Demon.
Was it a book or something?
You haven't read Demon.
No. Tell me.
Okay, Sard. You need to go look up an author by the name of Daniel Suarez. Now, you and I would actually want to call it Damon.
Okay.
But everybody else has always called it Demon. But you want to look up Daniel Suarez, Demon, and Freedom TM. You want to read these books. You will have an orgasm in your pants. The book opens with a computer killing people, okay? And it's not done in a stupid sci-fi way. It's actually done in a way that could happen.
Cool.
So you will enjoy these books. If you have not read those, you want to go get those.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we'll have to start doing a book review or something like that.
I'm really surprised you haven't read that. I kind of figured you would have had that one.
Never even heard of it, dude.
Fox, have you read this?
I honestly have not. I am Googling it right now, however.
Wow. Okay.
Same.
Okay, well, by the time... Yep, that's the correct book. That is the correct book. They just sent me the Amazon link. You know, Daniel Suarez, Damon. That's it. Sard, if you haven't read that book by the meetup, I think we're just going to beat the shit out of you. Just walk in the room. Have you read the book yet?
Wham!
So just start throwing tables. I mean, it's just like... But, yeah, you want to read that book, but...
I was going to say, I was going to put it this way, that Sard introduced me to the Wheel of Time series.
Oh, yes.
he started 5 books ahead of me. I surpassed him and finished the series up to the point it was released. He's still on book 5.
Oh, wow.
Bitch!
Oh, that's a good... You need to finish that. That's a good series, too.
I know it is. I just got burned out. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Well,
they're
okay,
so
that's a fair
goddamn
argument
long.
With that one. That one does get long.
Just like everyone says, they're so long.
Well, that, I mean, every book is actually 3 books long, so I mean, it's just, wow. But
I would like to finish them someday.
You should. They're an excellent read.
You also recommend Freedom, which is like the second book?
It's the second half of the story. It won't make much sense if you don't finish it.
Kill Decision looks like the third one.
Now, Kill Decision is separate, and I've only read bits of that one. I haven't sat down and read that one. But that's a separate... That is a separate series. I think it's not supposed to tie into Demon, but I think it's like kind of like a similar universe kind of thing.
Huh. Okay.
But those again. They're all, you know, Suarez is a good author. You will enjoy those books. So I think we got totally distracted there. But for everybody else who's actually read Damon, no, I don't think Bitcoin is the Darknet credit. I don't think it's going to get there.
It would have to get big enough to where like a legitimate, you know, physical government entity couldn't just destroy the shit out of it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of traffic. If you look at Bitcoin charts, I don't remember if that's a com or org. Just Google it. Bitcoin charts. There's a lot of activity on Bitcoins. I do suspect a lot of it is simply paying girls to take their tops off, but there's a lot of activity on Bitcoin. So, I mean, there's something there. I just, I'm not sure what. So, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Bitcoin is more stable. It's like, I was talking with Suave about this yesterday, and he made the argument that it's more stable than some actual government's currencies right now, which is probably true, but it's not really backed by anybody except the user base, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to do well.
Right. Yeah, so you can say it's decentralized, and oh yeah, it'll keep existing, but okay, so all these, you know, random Joe user has like 30,000 bitcoins. What the fuck is he gonna do with them if like the networking service goes down?
Well, yeah, and like I said, people have to accept it as an actual currency, so there it has to have some value. Otherwise, it's
So I mean, I kind of wonder about that. I mean, if a lot of people are accepting it just because it's trendy, not because there's actually any value behind it,
right?
So
yeah, because I mean, until you can actually turn it into like hard currency, like you want. I'm not sure how the whole pizza thing runs. Like, oh, I've got like 50,000 bitcoins and I've spent 50 grand in pizza, but my credit card company doesn't accept Bitcoin. So how the fuck are they like maintaining their operation at all?
Well, you have to sell them to somebody else for actual money. That's what the exchanges are about.
Like, so pizza for coins, you know, they did their market thing, so they actually found somebody to give them real money for the coins that they were getting.
I think so. I think they were just tied into one of the exchanges, and so they were accepting the bitcoins and ordering the pizza. They were paying the cash and acting as the they were essentially acting as the exchange. They were just taking the cash and immediately putting it into a pizza.
But like, so tracing this back though, somebody somewhere is out dollars for a virtual currency that if the network breaks down, they're going to have like this big pile of virtual currency with absolutely fuck all to do with it.
If it goes down, yeah, absolutely.
I guess, you know, theoretically, you could say that about any currency. It's like, okay, the US dollar decides to, you know, take an absolute shit, you know, all the debts get called in or whatever, and, you know, the paper it's printed on is worth more than the monetary value itself.
That would be amazing if that actually happened, wouldn't it? I mean, the dollar is right now the reserve currency of the world. That would be absolutely amazing if it went tits up.
Yeah, so like economic Armageddon aside, like you still, people feel like they have some sort of insurance against this. I mean, you know, all your banks are insured. You know, when the bank gets robbed, it's not your money, it's the government's money.
Yeah, when Matt Gox gets robbed or hacked, I mean, if your money's gone, your money's gone. There's nobody backing it.
Yeah. So you have no backing. There's nothing to say that if one of our, you know, three-letter agencies comes in, just wrecks face and takes out all these, you know, distribution and storage sites of who has what, it's just, it's still too new to really try to put your put your eggs in that basket.
I wouldn't run your life on it, but I mean, it's fun to play with.
It is fun to play with, but when you start like taking your real money and throwing, well, then again, people buy hats in Team Fortress. I was going to say, when you start taking your real money and throwing it at virtual shit, but all these microtransactions that games are doing,
yeah,
these
that
days,
already happens.
I mean, fuck.
Hey, I guess Bitcoins probably are a better investment than, you know, Team Fortress 2 hats. I mean, I would argue it's probably on par with the Linden dollar, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to get money in and out of the Linden system than it is the Bitcoin system. But
yeah, I mean, you launch your app and you're just like, I want to convert this into my PayPal account, and they do it for you. And it seems pretty legit there. I mean, they've got a big company backing that. I don't know. It's one of those things, like you're on the fence of, you know, do I jump in now at the somewhat ground level or wait and see? I mean, you're kind of in that 50-50. Is it either going to take off or is it going to get, you know, fucked sideways?
Yeah. And of course, the argument is, well, if everybody jumps into it, it'll do great. Well, yeah, that is the argument, isn't it? It's like, if everybody does it. Like, if everybody buys some stupid little Amazon app, somebody's going to get rich. I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah. Somebody downloads a Minecraft song, somebody gets rich.
So, all right, that's... I mean, I don't really have a point to make. I just wanted to kind of clarify some of this stuff. So, I don't have anything against Bitcoins. I just, like I said, I'm not sure yet. I'm kind of sitting on that.
Nothing against them. Kind of, if it takes off, it's going to be one of those things like... Fuck, should have jumped on that. But if it fails, it's like, well, glad I didn't throw any money away at that. Because, I mean,
there is kind of a fuck I wish I'd gotten in on that, because we remember when Bitcoins were $2 or $5. I mean, it's like, oh, wow, they're $40 right now. So,
yeah. So, you know, if you look at Bitcoin like investing in stock, you're like, well, goddamn, if I bought a bunch of $2 Bitcoin and sold them now, fuck, I'd be making a great profit.
True, but I mean, it's easy enough to go back. Well, gee, I should have bought some Microsoft stock in 1980. So, I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, it's the same argument. It's just a much shorter period of time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to some of these news stories, because some of these are fantastic. First one up is from The Register. The U.S. government's online catalog of cyber vulnerabilities has been taken offline, ironically, due to a software vulnerability. The National Institute of Standards and Technology's National Vulnerability Database, a public-facing website, and several other services have been offline since Friday due to a malware infection on two web servers. It emerged on Wednesday. The Register received an anonymous tip-off about the infection on Wednesday afternoon, which led us to a Google Plus post. It was anonymous up into the Google Plus post containing information from NIST. On Friday, March 8th, an NIST firewall detected suspicious activity and took steps to block unusual traffic from reaching the internet. Gail Porter of NIST's Public Inquiries Office told a concerned chief security officer in an email, according to the Post. NIST began investigating the cause of the unusual activity, and the servers were taken offline. Malware was discovered on two NIST web servers and was then traced to a software vulnerability. So I think this is hilarious. It's bad, because, I mean, if now they say there's no evidence NIST web pages were used to serve malware, but I don't know. I mean, the only people who really go to NIST are security researchers and people setting up systems and, you know, other people involved in security work. So it'd be an interesting data set to get, if nothing else. But yeah.
At least as far as the anonymity, like ending at Google Plus, I mean, you can always make a fake Google Plus account for like.
Oh, I know. I just found it funny that they needed to point out that they got an anonymous tip telling them to go look at this Google Plus post.
Well, that's because they're still trying to make Google Plus happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right in the Google balls.
Yeah. I mean, they had that great marketing of like the velvet rope at the beginning and like hyped it up like, oh shit, Google Plus. And then they kept the velvet rope in place too long. So you had that first group of people that were getting all their friends in and like, look guys, we're in Google Plus. Oh my god, wait, there's nobody fucking here.
Yeah. All right, fair point. I haven't looked at the site to see if it's back up, but yeah, last Friday an ISD got taken down for malware. So
it's just Murphy. I don't know,
yeah,
the irony.
It happens. I mean, pretty it's funny. Not a big deal. I'm not knocking the NIST guys at all. I mean, it happens to everybody. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. It is, like, for humor's sake, like, saying that you got in and you, like, if you were the guy that did this, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, I would definitely, yeah, like, at the meetup, buy whoever did this a beer. It's just like, here you go, man. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's sort of like the guys who hacked KSU. Was it KSU? No. Where was it? Some university last week got hacked, and all the web pages were redirecting to Meatspin. That's
I sent you that link.
Yeah.
You may have.
FSU. Actually,
FSU,
I still have,
thank you.
I still have it up in my Skype chat to you.
Yeah, I thought that one's funny. That's a classic hack. You know what I mean?
That was hilarious. But the fucked up thing, like, okay, if you want to talk about this, the fucked up thing is they're trying to charge him with a felony for doing it.
Whoa. How?
Yeah. Here, I'll send you the story back. I'll throw it in the chat so you can look it back over again.
I thought the story was funny because
I did too.
He wasn't spreading malware. He wasn't making something that was going to make thousands of users have to go clean up their machines. He wasn't taking,
like,
things down. He was just,
like,
making
you
a
go
lot
to
of
the
traffic.
Internet, surprise, spinning cock.
Let's see. I wonder what they're charging him with.
That's what I'm trying to scan through and find. But I know that they were. They were trying to charge him with a felony. I'm trying to find more information on this now. And we have dead air, which is a great radio thing while we're trying to look up this.
It happens. Yeah. Allegedly hacked into the wireless, blah, 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 blah. He admitted to doing it. Probably computer fraud and abuse. Yeah, they don't say how they're actually trying to charge him. They're just
Yes, I saw the story pop up, like, read the headline, laughed my ass off, and I came across it, and it just says, like, he's going to be charged with a felony, but they won't really say for what.
They're gonna hit him with computer fraud and abuse, which you can, like, we could sue people for going to the Galaxy 15 website under computer fraud and abuse. That law is so poorly written. So, yeah, he's going to jail.
It's like, okay, some freshman found Etter Cap, and you're fucked.
Actually, I would really hope some freshman didn't try to run Etter Cap on a university network. It's like, oh, look, your laptop's on fire.
That's the best part. No.
Yeah. That's true. Next story up. This one's from Lifehacker. Google has always been pretty lax, or always had a pretty lax set of rules when it comes to apps on Google Play. But today, they've started removing a good number of popular ad blockers from the store. Popular ad blockers, including AdAway, AdFree, and AdBlock Plus, have all gone away from the Google Play store, with Google citing the following section of their developer agreement. Prohibited actions. You agree that you will not engage in any activity within the market, including the development or distribution of products that interferes with, disrupts, damages, or accesses in an unauthorized manner the devices, service networks of other properties or services of any other third party, but not limited to Android users, blah, 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 blah. So they've decided to pull all the ad blockers out of the Google Store.
Imagine a company pulling the app that a company that makes all of their revenue off of ad money pulls ad blocking software off their market. I don't know. It's funny. I'm surprised it wasn't done earlier, type thing.
Yeah, I caught this today, and like I said, yeah, kind of not surprised, but a little bit of Google, you know, hey, remember, don't be evil.
No. Right, I'm pissed off at Google right now. Fuck them. They're killing Google Reader.
Yeah, I know.
I've got that. That's the next
reason.
Story.
Is it okay? I'll save my rant for them.
But yeah, they're pulling the ad blockers out, and that kind of makes me wonder if they're going to start making an effort to, I guess, clean up the Play Store. So right now they've got all these apps that say, you know, root only,
Yeah.
And most of those, what do? They fuck with other apps. So are they going to start pulling those under the same policy of their agreements?
Yeah, that was the main thing I was seeing on the articles today was people saying, like, okay, so you took this out, so your Play Store does contain all these, you know, four rooted phone only apps. Right now I went to AdBlock's site and like read their little blurb on it, and they pretty much said, like, no, it's going to be available on our site, and we're going to have it up on several other, you know, popular app download sites. I mean, yes, granted, you don't have the safety net of the Play Store, you know, as flimsy as that may be, but you can still get the apps onto your phone.
It might be worth exploring some alternative Android app marketplaces. I haven't really looked into that. That might be a good Digital Dojo down the line.
Oh, yeah. There were some really good ones, but most of those got shut down, the ones that I had used in the past. But,
well, besides the piracy ones, I mean.
Yeah, there was something else I was going to say, and now I just forgot it. Damn it.
Oh, the porn ones, too? Yeah.
I mean, you know, where else are you going to get the accelerometer titties? I mean, they take those off all the stores right away. We have the technology, damn it.
So, all right, let's let Sard rage out here. This is from the googlereader.blogspot.ca site. We have just announced on the official Google blog that we will soon retire Google Reader. The actual shutdown date for Google Reader is July 1st, 2013. We know Reader has devoted following and who will be very sad to see it go. We're sad too. No, you're not. You're shutting it down.
Exactly.
There are two simple reasons for this. Usage of Google Reader has declined, and as a company, we're pouring all of our energy into fewer products. We think that this kind of focus will make for a better user experience. To be fair, Google has made a lot of random crap, so I can kind of see them starting to prune a little bit. To ensure a smooth transition, we're providing 3 months sunset period, so you have sufficient time to find an alternative feed reading solution. If you want to retain your Reader data, including subscriptions, you can do so through Google Takeout. So, yeah, they are killing Google Reader, and I know a lot of people use that.
Exactly, and the internet has fucking exploded about this. How can they freaking still think that this is a good idea? There was no preemptive, like, do you want us to take this away? No, we're seeing a decline in users or whatever. The fucking internet has exploded on this. I really want to know what usage of Google Reader has declined. Like, how much has it really declined? Oh no, you know, only 50 million people a day are seeing your ads on Google Reader instead of 100 million people. Like, goddamn.
Were you using Google Reader, Sard?
Dude, I use that thing every single day. I use RSS Owl on Linux, and I use Feed Demon on Windows, depending on what device I'm, or, you know, what computer I'm on.
Yeah.
Literally every single day, and it syncs up to Google Reader. That way I can keep all my RSS feeds in one location and sync everything to it, and now they're taking it away. It's another reason that brings us back to another topic that talk about quite often here, is keeping your shit in the cloud. This is another reason why I hate the fucking cloud. This is essentially, you know, I have no control over it.
Yeah,
exactly. I have absolutely no control over my data now. Now they're going to take this service away, and they aren't even giving you an option to maybe pay for it or do something. They're just like, nope, you know, we're deciding not to support this anymore. Fuck you, it's going away. And I hate. You know, freaking.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say that maybe they did see a bit of a decline, and this is their, you know, get the internet riled up, because when the internet gets riled up about shit, things happen. Right?
Yeah.
Look at the whole SOPA and PIPA, like, fuck you. Granted, it's trying to come back right now, but sure that'll happen.
Hacked us back, or whatever they called it this week.
Yeah.
It was CISPA.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the acronyms that's trying to fuck over the internet is back. And the same douche cunt that tried to bring SOPA around the first time is the one heading it, shocking as that might be. What I'm thinking is, like, they're not shutting it down until July. I think that's giving the internet community as a whole enough time to rally and start, like, you know, screaming and bitching at Google to keep this around. And you know, I actually do think that if they get enough outcry from their user base, I'm sure they'll keep it around. It's like, what is it costing Google to keep Google Drive running? Or Google Reader, sorry. Like,
that much. It's probably all tied into the same systems.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like, it could be data center space, heating, cooling, maintenance. There could be a lot of stuff. I mean, I understand, it costs some money, but still, I really would like to see statistics. I'm sure there's freaking millions and millions of people that are hitting that site every single freaking day. Like I said, I use it every day.
And that's like, you get this big outcry, well, the word's going to get out there. People that didn't know about Google Reader, which I don't use RSS feeds that much. I've got like my RSS screensaver that I've linked into Slashdot and a couple other tech sites. But other than that, like, I don't use it, but now, you know, it started popping up all over my feeds everywhere of, hey, Google's shutting this shit down. Like, oh, fuck, what is this thing? Oh, wow, that sounded really cool. No, you should totally keep this around.
Right.
And, well, you know, their current user base that's already using it's obviously pissed off about it. They're going to make a big outcry for it. So I think, you know, maybe it's a small group of people that are running it in Google and they're getting shut down.
Yeah,
they're trying to make a marketing ploy out of it, and like, no, look, people actually really like our shit. We should totally keep this around.
I hope you're right. I hope they decide not to can it, but I don't know.
Well, fucking get vocal about it, you know? Start.
Yeah, I've signed a couple of online petitions, but honestly, I don't know. Because
that does anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think any of that shit.
Oh, did for Soap and Pip, at least.
It.
No, I think blacking out Wikipedia did that.
Yeah.
Well, that got a lot of people to notice it, at least. But there was also, like, there was a huge campaign that got going behind it to, like, shut that shit down. I think you can get a big enough campaign going to Google of, like, hey, we really like this product, fucking keep it around. Why the hell are you even shutting it down in the first place? I think they'd listen.
Well, we'll the other thing that's nice about, a good thing about the internet, is it because there is such an uproar about this, there's lots of alternatives that have already come out, and I know there's one site in particular that was talking about trying to make an API very, very similar to Google Reader, so it's just a matter of different
RSS aggregators.
Pointing it at the new one, but it's still just bullshit. It just pisses me off. Like, all of the stuff that we've talked about, the cloud here's a good example. I don't own any of that data. Thankfully, they're allowing you to export it, so yes, I can take it somewhere else. But what if this was, you know, like Google SkyDrive or Microsoft SkyDrive or whatever that, you know, and you had all your documents up there, and they said, "Yeah, we're taking that shit out." You have
or like when Mega Upload got yanked, and you know, everybody.
Yeah,
lost
exactly.
All their
that
shit.
Was yeah, exactly. No warning at all or anything like that. It's, I don't know. I just, like I said, people don't understand that you upload that shit there, you have absolutely no control over it anymore. It's not yours.
But Google shut services down before, and they've several times they've actually put out code. So it's entirely possible they might put it out and let somebody else pick it up.
Yeah, and like I said, that is the good thing about the internet. It will take care of its own and create alternatives, but it still just irritates the fuck out of me.
Yeah, it's like, the cloud is a good convenience, but it's nowhere near to the point where I would trust it at all. No.
So. All right. Well, I was just going to mention that. I didn't think you guys were going to actually go on a rant about it, but you know, it's like, oh yeah, that's getting shut down too. Okay. Next one up. This one's from Tech News Daily. Joe Landolia may have invented a cure for bleeding.
God, it's really handsome. This happens.
Fucking Band-Aids.
When you take out all creation. The blood.
Yeah, just pump it back in. It'll be fine. 5-second rule.
Yeah.
He claims his creation, a substance called Vetigel, jumpstarts the clotting and healing process so quickly that even wounds to internal organs or major arteries are able to close up instantaneously. So he's essentially created the health pack for most video games.
No, he wants to put freaking Fix-A-Flat in human people rather than your bike tire. That's what this shit is. I hope it's the neon green color too.
Joe has accomplished this by his third year of college at NYU, so it's a college kid who came up with this.
Yeah, it's fix the flat.
It instantly tells the body, okay, stop bleeding. But it also starts the healing process, said Lindolia. VT gel, also sometimes called metagel, is a synthetic form of extracellular matrix, or ECM, the substance that forms a kind of scaffolding in the body that holds cells together and also triggers the clotting process if there's an injury. In tests on rats, Lando is able to close up a slice to the liver and a puncture to the carotid artery. He plans to publish the results in about 2 months. A bit less gruesome than those tests is a simulation video that Lambda and colleagues at startup Cenerus produced. The 26-second clip begins with the team making about a 3-inch slice into raw pork loin that's been pumped full of pig's blood. The blood immediately pours out as if from a spigot. They then squeeze a layer of vitigel over the cut, and the flow immediately stops.
Yeah, I have seen fucking hot glue.
I have seen vitigel close any size wound that it applies to, said Lambda. As long as you can cover it, you can close it. So, yeah.
Fix a flat for you and me.
What do you hear where they're getting it from? Plants naturally produce a material similar to the human extracellular matrix, but Lindolia improves the process by using genetically modified plants to create vitigel. Other wound treatments, such as collagen, come from animals, he said. And some rival treatments require refrigeration. And they go on the marketing spin, blah, 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 blah. If vitigel works as well as it claimed, it could rival other products designed to close wounds. The U.S. military typically uses quick clot. There's a name. Gauze soaked
burns
in
like fire.
A material that activates pellets to form a clot, but it requires several minutes of applying pressure. Oh, horrible. We cut off his arm and we had to hold it in place for a few moments. Hospitals typically use FlowSeal, a bovine gelatin containing human thrombin, the enzyme that produces fibrin for clotting. So it's not a new concept. This guy just says he's made a better one, but since it's coming from genetically modified plants, I'm kind of wondering if it's like, well, we've closed up that minor cut on your arm, and now we get to watch you for cancer for the rest of your life.
Well, that's pretty much with like any drug you get these days. Like, the disclaimer is a mile and a half long.
True.
Yeah.
But
that's
yeah,
pretty
I think
cool,
you're right.
Though. Definitely has military purposes. I mean, it still sounds like they're covering it, but still. Would be
yeah,
cool if you could inject it and already have it like in your bloodstream.
And I don't know. I think you're right. I think it sounds like fix a flat.
Yeah, that's originally where I thought this was going. It's like it's something they inject into you, and like as soon as it hits a cut area, it's like, all right, everything stopped here. It's like, okay, so what tells this shit not to just like, huh? Your heart looks like a wound right now. I'm gonna go ahead and like coagulate everything
does.
In there.
It's like, yeah, don't get it in your mouth. Just don't.
You know, no. Like, could so, like, you could inject somebody with this and it just pretty much, and you have an embolism.
God! Oh, man.
So, but pretty much it's like super glue.
I've used super glue to close up cuts before. It works fine, so.
Yeah, I've actually accidentally punctured myself with one of those little, like, tack things they seal up the small super glues with.
Yeah.
I was trying to unplug the hole, the entire vial snapped, and I went down to, like, the bone in my thumb with that thumbtack. And I was like, oh, this is gonna suck ass. Pulled it out. Huh, it's not bleeding. Oh, right, the thing was covered in fucking super glue, so it sealed the wound shut immediately.
I bet that felt lovely for a couple of days, though.
Oh, yeah.
This is similar to super glue, but they'll start calling it super duper glue. And it's also not to be confused with the super devil.
What, wasn't super glue originally invented so people could glue themselves back together?
Yes.
Or is that a myth?
Well, no, they actually, like, some of the shit they use in hospitals, it's pretty much fucking super glue without some, like, the plastic bonding chemicals in it.
So like your dentist is using a very expensive Dremel. Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all it is. It's an adhesive. It's like, this piece should connect to this piece. Fucking glue it together.
I like it. All right, next story up. This one's from rudebaguette.com. Actually, one of the things I like about the vitigel is you know, yeah, it's cool with wounds and all that shit, but think about surgeries. That's, I think, where it's really going to be handy. It's like, yep, we just installed your cybernetic arm, and instead of bleeding for a week, we just played this crap over your shoulder. So
I would be okay with that if they actually had decent bionic limbs, which they're working on.
They're working on it, so.
I saw one tie a shoe the other day.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I just got to say, where the fuck do you find this website, Rube Baguette? I've never heard of that one.
It popped up in one of the lists.
That's funny.
ARCEP, the French telecom authorities, have informed the Paris state prosecutor that since Skype provides communication capabilities to French citizens, they must submit to French laws concerning electronic communications operator. One such law requires operators to allow the French police to listen in on any calls. ARCEP claims that Skype, whose European presence is governed by its Luxembourg-based office, has refused to declare itself as an electronic communications operator. In the press release, ARCEP says that while not all the solutions that Skype provides are electronic communication services, the service allows internet users located in France to call fixed and mobile numbers in France and around the world using their computer or smartphone. The notification states that if Skype does not declare itself as an electronic communications operator, there may be criminal charges brought against the company. So the French government is essentially saying if Skype doesn't let it listen in to calls, they're going to bring them up on charges.
Europe is so fucked. Jesus, talk about Big Brother.
Wait.
Not only do they have
Pirate Bay story.
Yeah, not only do they have the freaking close CCTV cameras everywhere, they apparently can listen to all your freaking phone calls.
Yeah,
well,
in other
come
news,
on.
The French
You're
government can listen to
our government.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark.
Well, we're supposed to have rights and laws against that shit, but
yeah,
here they're
to,
blatantly, but they're blatantly saying it. It's like, yeah,
well, no,
you're supposed
being
to let
open
us listen
about
to
it.
Everything.
I wouldn't call it blatant, I'm just saying they're open about it. Like, no, we're going to listen in, where, come on, you know, we're probably already being listened to on this shit. We've probably said, you know, Osama, terrorist, buzzword, president, murder thing. You know, okay, they're listening now, so.
Well, I would hope somebody's listening. I mean, we've got one listener. It's probably the FBI. Hi, guys.
Yeah, you know, why not? Hey, guys. It's just like, where was it, like Denmark or something like that, where they have a tax for people that have a TV in their house. And now they're making people register their computers because so many news programs and televisions and whatnot are being streamed via the internet. If you don't have a TV, you don't have to pay this tax. Well, now if you have a computer, you're going to have to pay this tax.
Well, they're going to – it's a tax. So, I mean, essentially, if they didn't have enough people with TVs, they would say, well, enough people who we assume have seen it in a public place will have to pay the tax. Eventually, they're just going to charge everybody.
Yeah.
What it is
the government stumbling along trying to catch up with the technology and get their cut of something that they have nothing to do with.
Well, it's sort of like your local power company and water company. You know, all they do is talk environmentalism. It's like, oh, you got to conserve, use less. And then a couple months after their advertising campaign telling you to use less, they're like, yeah, we've got to raise the rates. People are using less water and we need the same amount to operate. So we're going to jack your rates way up.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not bitter at all, though. But
no,
that's the first analogy
see
that
where
comes
you're
to mind.
From. It's you're fucked either way.
So, and the show is obviously going to go long tonight because we're not halfway through the show notes.
Good thing is we're not running into another show right now. Not like we have to get off air so that Artie can get on and talk about waving his penis in traffic because he does that tomorrow.
Wait, the talking about it or actually performing the act?
Why not both?
All right, next story up. This one's from H Online. On the first day of this year's Pwned-Owned contest in Vancouver, which is taking place from March 6th to the 8th, current versions of all major browsers were brought down by exploits. Chrome, Firefox, and Internet Explorer 10 on Windows 8 were all successfully attacked. Particularly, vulnerabilities in Java were also exploited. More than $500,000 is available in prize money for HP Zero Day Initiative. 4 successful exploits in Chrome, IE9, 10, Firefox, Safari, exploits in Adobe Reader 11, Flash, and Java can also be entered. ZDI has announced it will purchase all exploits from contestants pre-registered for the contest. So, yeah, all your browsers fell over. All of them.
Nope.
If you're looking at something you don't trust, use a virtual machine.
Fuck that, man. You just gotta use my browser. No one ever talks about my browser. You know what my browser is?
Your mother?
No, it's Sea Monkey. Fuck yeah!
Nobody ever talks about it because it's WebKit. Chrome is WebKit. So guess what, motherfucker?
I just had to...
Why the hell are you using Sea Monkey?
I don't. I'm just giving you... I just thought it was
hipster.
Funny.
I was expecting him to say something, you know, unique, like Lynx. It's like, no, that won't work in Lynx. You're right.
No. I just like the name, of course, like everyone.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about
Sea Monkey.
You're not
on... You don't even like Max. Why the hell are you using Sea Monkey?
Because he's a secret Mac lover.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, fuck you, buddy. Fuck you.
Yeah, your entire Linux distro looks exactly like a fucking Mac.
No, there's no little blue apple.
Oh, that's the only fucking difference. The only fucking one.
Sard, go to Unix porn and get some ideas there. So, let's see here. Next one up is from Torrent Freak, and you guys are just going to love this one. Last year, Sweden's Supreme Court announced it announced its decision not to grant leave to appeal in the long-running criminal court case against the founders of the Pirate Bay. This means that previously determined jail sentences and fines handed out to Peterson, Frederick, Nedge, Gottfried, I'm sorry, I'm terrible at these names, Slarvum and Carl Ludstrom would stand. Swed and Nidge weren't prepared to accept this decision on their part, decided to take the case to the European Court of Human Rights. After almost a year, the EHCR handed down its decision today, and it was not the news the Pirate Bay founders wanted to hear. The European court refused to take on the case after concluding that the Swedish courts had already made the right decisions. The EHCR recognizes that the Swedish verdict interferes with the right to freedom of expression, but ruled that it was necessary to protect the rights of copyright holders. In its decision, the court also considered the fact that the Pirate Bay did not remove torrents linking to copyrighted material when they were asked to. The court held that sharing or allowing others to share files of this kind on the internet, even copyright-protected material and for-profit-making purposes, was covered by the right to receive and impart information under Article 10, Freedom of Expression. However, the courts considered that the domestic courts had rightfully balanced the competing interests at stake, i.e. the right of the applicants to receive and impart information and the necessity to protect copyright. And I'm going to stop reading there and just say the courts decided that the copyright is more important than free speech. And that's what they said.
Nobody was paid off for that.
Probably. But yeah, the court concluded that the interference to the right to the freedom of expression has been a necessary in democratic society, and their application had therefore been rejected as manifestly ill-founded. So not only are they saying that they agree that copyright is more important than free speech, but that the Pirate Bay founders were wrong to even try and ask. Like, you should have known better.
Wow.
Like, as...
Go ahead.
As odd as it is, like, the whole After Now thing where, you know, back 10, 15 years ago when he started doing it, he looked at the most fucked up shit that was going on then and just, like, took it to the extreme. Like, with the whole copyright and everything else like that, and you just kind of actually see it slowly inching its way in that direction.
Like, yeah, no, I mean...
That's the creepiest thing. It's like somebody from, like, 10 years ago can, like, make up this story from taking, you know, the little bullshit issues to the furthest extreme of what they were and, like, basing an entire, like, post-apocalyptic, you know, world off of that, and we're actually seeing it fucking happen in slow little steps.
So, but yeah, though that's just, you know, that's the highest court in Europe just said that copyright trumps free speech. So
yeah, but they're all honestly, I really don't think that the Pirate Bay is gonna give any fucks. It's like, okay, you said you don't like us, fuck it, we'll find some other island country to go hang out in.
I'm sure, but I mean, it's just I'm not that worried about the finders of the Pirate Bay or even the Pirate Bay site. It's just the statement that imparts.
Yeah,
it's like we care about copyright more than free speech. Sorry, yeah,
corporations have more rights than you do. I mean, well, technically they already do on a lot of fronts, but let's just add another nail to the coffin.
So
right, slightly off topic. Have you guys watched that Pirate Bay movie that they put out?
Oh, yeah. The one Jason Scott did? Yes.
How is that? I have that queued up. I just haven't watched it yet.
It's not bad. It's not. I don't think it's on par with Jason Scott's BBS documentary, but I don't think it's bad. I'm mildly pretentious, but not too much.
Huh, okay.
So, and it's definitely one sided in its point of view.
Yeah, most documentaries I find are.
Oh yeah. But even if it's not bad.
Say they are.
No, go watch it. It's good watch. I had a couple of issues with it, but it's not bad at all.
Cool.
So.
It's called Away from Keyboard.
Yes.
Yep.
And they get that name because one of the lines in court is they kept talking about, you know, it's like the first time you met these guys in real life, and you know they kept saying off the computer was in real life, and they said no, we don't say that. We say away from keyboard because to us it's just as real. So I thought that was interesting. So, where was I? Reuters, RoboRooters story.
Either are you or TAC is going to destroy your reproductive organs the next time they see you.
All right, let's be serious now. Reuters, because that is actually how you say it. But so this story up, this next story up is from RoboRooter. So the Obama administration. I'm laughing at myself for messing up the name. The Obama administration is drawing up plans to give all U.S. spy agencies full access to a massive database that contains financial data on American citizens and others who bank within the country, according to a Treasury Department document seen by Reuters. The proposed plan represents a major step by U.S. intelligence agencies to spot and track down terrorist networks and crime syndicates by bringing together financial databases, criminal records, and military intelligence. The plan, which legal experts say is permissible under U.S. law, is nonetheless likely to trigger intense criticism from privacy advocates. Financial institutions that operate within the United States are required by law to file reports of suspicious customer activity. So, yes, when Big Brother is buying his monthly shipment of dildos, I'm sure somebody has to send the suspicious customer activity report.
He's using Bitcoin to get them, though.
God. Such a large money transfer. Such as large
it's
money
Cox
transfers.
It's Cox for coins.
Such as large money transfers or unusually structured banking accounts. Unusually structured. It's like he keeps depositing $39.95 every month. I'm getting distracted here. To the Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. The Federal Bureau of Investigation actually... I know somebody who got fired from a Walmart for structured transactions. They get around some issues for sending MoneyGrams in like, you know, $499 amounts, like five or six times, like standing right there doing it over and over again, same person. And it's like, that's like, that's not just illegal. That's like stupid, crazy illegal. So, but, because it's like, yeah, no, the person doing the transaction like lost their job. The Federal Bureau of Investigation already has full access to the database. However, the intelligence agencies such as the CIA and the NSA currently have to make a case-by-case request for information to FinCEN. Financial Central. Okay, I know what that is. FinCEN, it's a funny word. The Treasury plan would give spy agencies the ability to analyze more raw financial data than they ever had before, making them helping them look for patterns that could reveal attack plots or criminal schemes. The planning document, dated March the 4th, shows that the proposal is still in its early stages of development, and it is not known when the implementation might begin. In other news, the FBI already has this database. So, yeah, I'm going to stop the story there because it goes into a bunch of bullshit, and we're way over on time. But, yeah, so apparently the FBI has been putting together this database of suspicious financial transactions. And I kind of wonder if any transaction to or from a Bitcoin exchange is put on that list.
That would be a good
and they're
going
to give the other spy agencies access to it. So now, when I first skimmed the story for inclusion in the show, I thought it was a little bit more extreme than that. I thought it was actually like they were just going to get straight up access to everybody's bank records, but obviously I misread that a little bit. So,
you know, just a little less creepy than like the U.S. soil drone strikes they were trying to sneak through the other week.
True. True. Yeah, that only took a handful of filibusters and, like, grilling administration officials to finally begrudgingly get them to admit that, no, that's actually not constitutional to execute people on...
Yeah, with a remote, with an RC plane?
Yeah, well, you know, the plane itself is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if they use an RC plane or a long-range sniper or, you know, an anvil tied to a weather balloon. It's, you know, the concept of, do you have the right to kill somebody without a trial? No, not on U.S. soil. I'm sorry.
But come on, doing it like Wile E. But doing it like Wile E. Coyote would be so worth it.
I'm not denying this, but like at least talk to a judge first if you're going to kill a U.S. citizen on soil. I mean,
yes, sir. We're planning on doing it Wile E. Coyote style with a balloon and an anvil.
I mean, at least get the judge to sign off. I want to see this because it sounds awesome. I mean, come on.
We witnessed this individual buying something. It's either a flower vase or a bong. We can't be sure, but on the suspicion it's a bong, we're going to fucking, you know, level
his
neighborhood.
We're going to anvil his ass.
Yeah.
So, well, where do you expect him to be? Well, currently, he's currently at a Starbucks just across the road from a elementary school, so we're trying to plan it during recess. Because awesome. The kids will think it's funny. They like cartoons, right?
I don't have a good soundboard. I'm sorry.
I don't think I have an explosion on mine. I'm looking now. Let's see.
Good enough.
Okay. So now I think it's time for this.
Me love you long time.
All right. Now, this is interesting. The new version of Backtrack came out. Backtrack changed their name. They are now Kali Linux. K-A-L-I.
Yeah, I can't be the only person that thought Kali Ma when they saw this. Because that was the first thing I thought of when I saw it.
I'm still not sure why they felt the need to change the name. I mean, I kind of understand it, but at the same time, I kind of don't.
Yeah.
So, I've got an article here from H Online because they had the best write-up I've seen.
Kali is like the Lord of Death. Like, that's the whole, like,
there's a
Hindu
couple of
goddess
gods.
Associate. Yeah.
There's a couple of different gods named Kali, though.
Carry on.
This H Online article was pretty good. Offensive Security has announced the launch of Kali Linux, a new distribution for penetration testing and security auditing. The company is billing Kali as a professional version of its well-known Backtrack Linux tool, aimed at enterprise users. The company is teaming up with Rapid7, the makers of Metasploit Toolkit, to provide official Metasploit support for Kali. The new distribution, according to both companies, is easier to use and more accessible to IT staff who are not purely focused on security work. Kali can also be customized to fit the needs of companies more easily. Kali's suite of tools include Metasploit, Wireshark, John the Ripper, Nmap, and Aircrack NG. The applications have been evaluated and selected specifically for suitability and usefulness to do away with the historically accumulated selection that is available in Backtrack. The new desktop interface also includes a category labeled Top 10 Security Tools, which collects the applications users are most likely to use on a regular basis. I looked at that top 10 list and I didn't agree with it. But it's just a pre-made set of shortcuts for you. So all my shortcuts always end up in the toolbar anyways. And so just to kind of sum it up, what they ended up doing was they built it off Debian instead of Ubuntu this time. They've rearranged the file system and they've got everything actually packaged up correctly. Unlike the older Backtracks, which were starting to spin up into a distro, but they were really still focused to be a live distro. And yeah, you could install it and keep it up to date. And they had repositories for it. It wasn't really meant to like be, you know, a daily use Linux desktop. So, and they, you know, the early versions were based off Slax, then they moved to Debian, then Ubuntu, then, and now they're back on Debian. So, but with the new distribution, Official Security expands the hardware support. Aside from the usual 32 and 64-bit images, ARM versions of the distribution are available. This allows the user to run Kali on the Raspberry Pi, Samsung's ARM Chromebook, and a couple of others. According to the developers, they're trying to support as many wireless interfaces as possible, and to that end are using kernel based on the upstream 3.7 that includes patches needed for support of packet injection on many wireless interfaces. Now, obviously, I pulled down Kali and played with it, and it looks like it just looks like a very cleaned up Backtrack. They got rid of the slash pentest folder, which is interesting for me because I was really used to where everything was.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some work for me to get used to it, but it's not bad. The Raspi version runs XFCE, and Metasploit took 15 minutes to start.
Ouch.
So
that's kind of one of those, you hide it in place and you come back next week and see what it's done.
Yeah, I mean, I can see uses for it, but I'm certainly, you know, it's like I said when we first talked about the Raspi, I kind of look at the Raspi as a big Arduino that can run a Linux stack, not, you know, a small PC. So I don't think that's the best place for Kali to live on a Raspi, but you can do it. So I'm sure there's some interesting tricks you could pull with that, and especially as the drop computer. I think that's probably the best use of it.
Yeah, obviously. $25 drop computer is much better than alternatives out there.
Yeah, they had a god, they had picked it out that they reasoned to use that name, and it was something to do. It wasn't death, it was something else. But I mean, Kali's the name of a couple of different gods, so. But, you know, the screen, the look of it is definitely more corporate friendly. I don't know about you guys. I used to have a laptop, a couple of laptops actually, that constantly, that's all that was ever installed on them was Backtrack Linux. And usually because I was blowing them away and starting over fresh with them, I never bothered to customize the interface that much because I was too busy using the distro. I didn't care how it looked, you know what I mean? Half the time you're staring at a handful of consoles anyways. So, like, right. Who cares what the wallpaper is? But I have been in a Barnes & Noble and had somebody see my screen and went, like, oh my God, you're running Hacking Tools. And it was just because I had brought that laptop with me and I wasn't even doing anything. I was just reading my email.
Did you hit them? Geez.
I wanted to.
You should.
But that's Backtrack. You're hacking. It's like, no, I'm not, buddy.
Oh my God, a DOS window. We're all going to die.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. But I've had people freak out because they see that. It's like, oh my God, Hacking Tools. So. Yeah, it was embarrassing, actually, because it's like, dude, I'm reading my email, go away. It's like, if I was actually doing something you'd never see, I'd use my fucking cell phone. You'd never know I'm doing anything.
You could open up Word with fucking black background and green text, and suddenly you're a fucking hacker.
Yeah, that's...
Or you buy a laptop case from Staples.
Oh,
Dart and I actually took a picture of this back in, God, like early 2000s.
Yeah, did we ever send that to you, Morps?
I don't think you did.
All right, I'll get it up. Shoot you a link.
Yeah, it's on your server somewhere. But I think I still got a copy of it too. But it was marketed like big tag on there that said hacker laptop case.
Oh,
it was just some like random piece of shit, you know, nylon laptop bag. But like they were marketing it as like, buy this and you'll be an uber elite hacker. OMG!
I hate that shit.
Yeah,
I really do. I mean, I bought the I read your email hat because I thought it was ironic and funny because most people's email is really boring. But nobody gets that joke, so. But anyways, let's see. Listen to the stream. We're constantly updating it. I know Big just added a whole bunch of new music. We're always looking for new music to add. I think Sard was working on the rotation not too long ago, too. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise on Wednesdays. I was just on the last one and not as drunk as I should have been. Of course, I Have Nothing is on hiatus this weekend, but it's normally on Saturdays. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the shout box, the IRC channel, which I completely forgot to watch tonight, the subreddit. I think, am I forgetting anything? No, I'm not. I don't know. Find somebody, get a hold of us. You'll figure it out. It's like there's only 14 different ways to get a hold of us. You'll figure it out if you really need to. Of course, we like feedback. Send us feedback. And I'm going to hit play on this music. Left Spine Down, Ignorance is Bliss. Or Ignorance is Piss, actually. I'm sorry. So that's all I've got. Unless anybody else wants to throw something out before I hit play on this music here, now's the time.